This is Mellow Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I just did a bunch of alliterative song names. So those last few were Pretty in Pink, Wawa, Peace Peace, Memory Maze, and Rebel Rouser. And now I am here with Ari Sage. How's it going, Ari?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. And you have accompaniment. Accompaniment, would you like to would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Davin Dubois.
Davin, I'm not sure if we'll be able... Oh, hang on. Try it again.
Hello.
It's still kind of quiet, but we'll definitely hear you on the saxophone.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, yes. It was a bit of a smorgasbord deciding what... Davin just got to his 30th instrument that he knows how to play now. So
wow.
When I was walking out of the house, I was like, I don't know, just grab a couple and we'll make something work.
Which one was number 30?
The banjo.
The banjo. And which one's coming up next?
I don't know.
Okay. It's fair.
That's a good question.
You should learn the sitar.
I want to learn the sitar.
It's pretty expensive to get one, but...
Yeah.
But it's such a cool instrument. Definitely worth it. And Ari, if you could learn another instrument, what would you choose?
Probably, I think the guitar, just the acoustic guitar. I haven't.
Solid.
It's just good for songwriting and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then all the guitar players say the same thing about keys.
Yeah.
So, grass is always greener, as they say. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Ari Sage. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm currently studying independent recording and production at Berklee up here in Boston. And, I don't know. I've been writing songs since I was a little kid. My dad taught me to play piano. And just kind of been doing it since. I brought a couple songs in here today that I will be giving a little bit more background than I usually do on, which I'm kind of excited to do because I don't know, I don't usually talk about my songwriting on purpose, but I'm feeling like it might be fun to peel the layers back a little bit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I've been playing around Boston for a while under the name Ari Sage with a full band. We have Davin and drums, my friend Quinn Domena, Rocco Rizzi on the bass, and my good friend Ravi and old roommate Ravi Hassan on guitar. And we all met at Berklee. Me and Davin met in Spain last semester, but it's been really great working with them. And we're going to be back around in the fall playing more shows. So yeah.
I've always heard the best things about those Berklee international stints.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. I met all my roommates out there, and we moved in together afterwards, and it's been great.
Yeah, roommates, bandmates, all of it. Yeah, nice, love it. Well, would you like to tell us a little bit about your first song?
Yeah, let me think about which one I want to start with. This one is the second to most recently written. it's called Threads and Gills. And I think I'll play it first and then maybe talk about it afterwards.
Sure.
But yeah. But I know push it down. It's got gills and fins. It'll never drown my mind. It's where I learn to breathe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And so that was Threads and Gills, you said?
Yes. Very cool. That one is currently in the process of being recorded, as are, I think, all but two of the songs that I'll be playing today are all unreleased. I'm taking a while on this next project. Just been taking some space and wanting to get the details really, really ironed out and just, I don't know, take my time, a lot more time on this next project.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Do you have any other details about the project that you can share?
The working title is Icarus, and we're doing it, we're trying to do it live. We're trying to have the band do most of the takes, at least with most of the band at once, and, you know, add some extra layers of post-production and such, but I just really want to capture that energy, because the band that I've been, like, blessed to be able to play with as of right now. I've never experienced my music in that way, and it's something that is really hard to do layer by layer. And, like, I don't know, when we go play shows and stuff, I'm just, like, so captivated by it. So that's why we're taking more time on it, because we want to be able to get it super, super clean and be able to do it as live takes, like, all the way through.
But, that makes sense. And, do you have a timeline in mind, or are you just playing, kind of winging it?
Yeah, this, I don't know if I don't know if I can give a, I mean, I have some singles that I'm, like, planning on finishing up this summer, but as of this album, I'm expecting next summer or so. Yeah, so.
Cool. Where should people go to follow you, find more information about
For that? Sure. RESage_HTTPS is my Instagram.
Very nice.
I'm currently trying to learn HTML, which is not my strong suit. I'm trying to code my own website. And so that will be up and about. I'll be posting about that on my Instagram soon because I have a lot of different projects that I'm hoping to keep people updated on in a less social media way, I guess.
Yes, yes. So. Websites are good. Tough to keep them updated.
Yeah.
That's my struggle. I made it. It was a lot of fun to make, and now it just sits there 6 months out of date. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite gig that you've played with the rest of the band? If you had to pick one.
It's a great question. I think that show at Fat Freddy's was really fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. Why don't you grab that mic and then you can drag that over.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. You're talking. Yeah.
So that you don't have to talk into the reverb filled mic, but you can have your own.
Yeah, we so me and a couple of my friends we started a mutual aid group called Blossom Mutual Aid, which is like sort of the purpose of it is to bring, you know, people who own house venues or people who do sound work or people who are musicians or visual artists or make zines or really any medium to be able to come together and raise money for different other mutual aid groups in the Boston area, or we run like rent parties for people if they're not being able to, you know, cover rent for that month or whatever it may be. So I think my favorite show as of recent was the show we did for ACLU. It was just like, there's something really beautiful about when every person who's performing is doing it for a different cause, like for a bigger cause. It kind of takes a lot of the like stress away in a weird way. Like nobody's competing with each other. Everyone's just like cares about the exact same thing. They're not stressing about who has the most, you know, pull. Everybody's there for the same reason. And in some ways the music feels even more free and like it gets to a larger potential almost when you're not competing with each. I mean, it's not like I'm competing with each people, but even the, I don't know.
Well, you're not doing it to make money.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And all that stress is gone and it just, I don't know, it just feels so much more raw. So yeah, I think that'd be my favorite show as of recent.
I guess you would still be doing it to make money, but not for yourself.
Not for yourself.
So it takes some
Yeah, you still put your all into it. You still try to promote it. You still try to get people out there, but I don't know. The stakes are a lot less, I guess, high.
Yep, for sure. And do you have any gigs coming up?
I do not. Yeah, I'm leaving. So I'm leaving Boston for August. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be booking more stuff in the fall. Yeah, I don't think I have anything coming up.
Nice. Solid. Well, we all know to go to resage_https.
On Instagram.
On Instagram, yes. To find out more, yes.
And it's resage under any other, like, streaming platforms or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Would you like to play another song?
Sure.
Excellent.
Let me think. I think I want to do... Are you good to do Wishbone?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a song that I wrote 4 days ago or something. I'm very excited about it. So... It's very fresh. I always get super excited to perform things while they're fresh because I'm like so, I don't know, still feels so, I don't know, the dust hasn't settled, I guess. Scribble of vultures diving down from the trees to dismantle the roadkill and to take what they need. And I've tried to live like them to dismantle my greed, to make use of what's useless and to live in between. Thank you. Wishbone, baby, wishbone. Which one gets the longer end? Which way, baby, which way? Wishbone, baby, wishbone. Which one gets the longer end? Which way, which way? Will you make it right or pretend that you earned what you and I've grown apathetic. It's what they need from me to quiet the storm. The tempest in
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Wishbone. Cool. And so, yeah, you said that you wrote that, like, last week?
Yeah, I guess this weekend. This last weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I feel like I have a lot of ideas bubbling around about that one. I want to add like strings and lots of horn layers and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, just with the two of you, three instruments, it sounded very, you know, full.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Of course. But not like over full in a way that other things wouldn't add to it too. So yeah, yeah. Very cool. Do you have a favorite quote?
From the song?
No, just in general. It could be like a lyric, could be from a... To just pivot 180.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'm just going to have to sit on that
for a second. Of course.
There's so many good quotes, yeah. I feel like.
You can let that percolate for a little bit.
I might let
that
percolate,
yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Wishbone, since it is so fresh?
Absolutely, yeah. The beginning of it is kind of... the way I usually write a song is like I loop a chord progression for a really long time and I just sing what's on my mind for a couple hours until four lines appear. And I have this rule, like if there's not, or at least like a phrase, like a full phrase that is like fully there. If I can't get a full phrase, then like there's nothing to start off of, I guess. So the first part for me was, there's a scribble of vultures diving down from the trees to dismantle the roadkill and take what they need. And when I had that, I was like, all right, now I'm going to sit down with the notepad and write some stuff. I had been talking to my girlfriend like a week before. She was asking me what my favorite animal was. And it is a bear, but it's also the second place is the turkey vulture. I just like have always been... Like I know it's kind of weird, but like very inspired by the turkey vulture. Like I just think it's so beautiful how they live off of scraps and like are able to sort of like exist in that in-between space, you know? And like, I don't know. I try to do that if I can. I don't know. Like it's just sort of like the recycling. It's not necessarily minimalism. Like you can have a bunch of stuff if you find it on the street. That's my opinion.
For sure,
it's kind of a best of both worlds thing. And I think a lot of it also comes down to sort of, like a lot of the song is just sort of about privilege and sort of like trying to wrap your head around how many things have been placed into your hands. I think for like periods of my life I would try to find ways to like that line where it's like, will you make it right or pretend that you earned what you have? I think throughout my life I've spent a lot of time like trying to be like, well, you know, like I'm not super mega rich, so I'm not like, you know, I'm not privileged. But you know, like just even being able to like go to college in Boston is an unbelievable, tiny, minuscule amount of the world is able to do something like that. And, I think that places a burden on you. And it's not necessarily like a burden that you have to ignore or that you have to treat like a curse or something, because it's a better curse than not having, you know? So it's not necessarily a song that's like complaining about privilege or like the guilt of privilege. It's just sort of like trying to come to terms with, you know, not hiding away from it and admitting to it being a very important step.
It's a very cool concept, an important one too. And you know, how does the turkey vulture play in?
Like, it's like, the turkey vulture is, I guess, my antidote to that to an extent. And the way that I try to, and of course I make tons of mistakes in that, but I try to live my life in that in between. Like I try as many places as I can to like, constantly buy always used things and like I don't know, just sort of live off of, make sure that like I'm never over consuming. Like, okay, you know, do I actually need this at all? Am I happy with what I have? Just because I have the means to get this, I don't know, it's not just about the means, you know, like it's also a question of, is this excessive? And I think I also think that I've had a lot of, I've found it very confusing. Like, I think that overconsumption is incredibly it's a profound action. Like, I think that it's treated like it's just something that some people do. Like, you overconsume, you buy too many things. It's like, just because there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance between what you're affecting in a supply chain when you are buying a ton of something. I think it's been important for me to sort of, like, stress that for myself. Mm-hmm. And even in my circles, I sometimes feel like I'm being annoying to people, and I'm like, we don't need to do that. We don't need to get this. We don't need to do this. And it's, I don't want to, like, act like I'm better necessarily, but I do think that it's, like, one of the, it's something that isn't shamed very much. So at least in a lot of the circles that I'm in, it's not shamed to, like, have a lot more than you need. Mm-hmm. And I think that it should be.
Yeah.
And I feel a great deal of shame when I feel like I do have more than I need.
The turkey vulture gets by with what it has and doesn't have to kill its own dinner.
It doesn't have to kill its own dinner. It cleans up the road so you mm-hmm. don't get dead the body all over your, all over your wheel. It stops it from smelling bad.
Yeah. It's an important role.
It is a very important role. Or like fungus, like in the decomposing of something. It's like there's so many, in-betweens that are so important to focus on.
Absolutely. Would you like to play another one?
Absolutely. That one's really heavy. I'm going to work up to that.
I see.
Just because I feel like I just talked for a long time. let's do what you said.
What you said to me.
Very nice. It was kind of funny when you said, oh, let's not play what you said. Let's play what you said. So it was, oh, wait, what? I thought you said you weren't going to play that one. Anyway, how long have you been playing that one?
That is probably since, I don't know, like probably 5 months or so. That's one that we tried to record with the band. We went into the studio. We did a live recording of this one. I think I might post a live version, but we're still not like, this is the studio version. Like, we still need to like really iron it out. But yeah, that one I play with the band a lot. This whole, that section is so fun with the whole band. Like, I always, in like every show, I'm like looking forward to hitting the and like the bass and the drums there and like everything. It's just like, it's so exciting. And I remember bringing that to the band and just having those hits, and it didn't seem like much to me. And then just hearing them take it and run with it was, I don't know, it's always so exciting. I love that section.
Yeah, no, it's fun, and you guys were locked in. It's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite part of making music?
I don't know. I mean, I think most of it is probably. I think the best part is definitely the flow state, just being there and not thinking. I have like really intense OCD, so I'm always just ruminating over repetitive things, which is a lot of what this song sort of has to do with. Is there's some OCD stuff related in here. I think catharsis is definitely a large part of it. But yeah, I mean, it's the best kind of dissociation is playing music. It's like, it's in a really good way. Like, mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I think that's probably the best part, is just the flow state.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you like to do outside of music for fun?
I'm currently writing a dystopian sci-fi novel.
Oh,
called,
whoa.
It's called Skull Pusher. And I'm on like chapter 15 or something right now. So I've been going through like all the most like legendary dystopian sci-fi novels that I never read Fahrenheit 451. Like, I didn't have to read that in middle school. So I'm reading that right now, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm really glad I didn't have to read that in the school, because I'm actually really enjoying it, and I would have shunned it had I been assigned it. And then I was reading Annihilation pretty recently. So I've been trying to get down into the dystopian sci-fi world lately. It's a really fun place.
Have you read Anthem?
Mm-mm. Who's that by?
It's Ayn Rand. Oh, okay. It's not like her other stuff. It's pretty short, and it's a sci-fi novel written entirely in the third person, because it's a dystopian society where they have lost all sense of individuality.
Whoa. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then if you know the song 2112 by Rush, that's an adaptation of the book.
Oh, interesting.
As an 18 or 20 minute long song.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah,
I'll have to check that out. That sounds really cool.
What do you have like a general plot synopsis that you can give me for the one that you're working on?
I suppose so. I've been trying to do that over. So this book started as a joke. I was in my roommate from 2 years ago now, or I guess a year and a half ago. I just said Skull Pusher to him, and he was like, "What is that?" And then I gave him a mock up of the plot, I just said some random themes that I was just completely off the dome. I was like, it's a giant crater, and everyone in the crater doesn't know that the wall around the crater was built from the outside in and not the inside out. And he's like, that's stupid. I was like, okay. And then I just kept like joking about Skull Pusher for a while, and then I started writing about it. So there is a crater. The whole wall thing is not as big of a reveal, but the whole concept is that in everyone's brain there is a little bit of black goo called cerebrum, and it is harvested by the state to fuel like microchips and all sorts of things. But then there's a sort of syndicate of people who use it for all sorts of other stuff and have like a spiritual connection to it, because it like is living and breathing and connected to like a larger whole of like a cerebrum root system. So they're building the Skull Pusher, which is this gigantic machine that's trying to break out of the walls of the crater using Cerebrum, which comes from people's skulls. So it's, I don't know.
Cool. Is that a lethal extraction process?
Yes, which is, but so the sort of, that's where the sort of like dystopian side comes in, is the state is like constantly killing people off and not, and being like, oh, you know, a bunch of people just starved over here, you know, just like coming up with reasons to harvest their Cerebrum after they die. And so most of what the sort of like rebel forces are doing is they're like harvesting parts from the state that already have Cerebrum in them. But they're sort of framed as murderers because it's like, well, how else do you get it? You know? So I don't know. It's cool. A work in progress, but it's been really, really fun to write. Cause it's just a hobby. Like I don't do it for anything else other than it's escape and fun.
Sounds like a cool project.
So yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
For sure. Thanks for asking about it.
Yeah. Do you guys want to play another one?
For sure. Yeah. How much time do we have? Is there a...
We've got another... We should be courteous and leave some time for the next DJ to get set up. So I'd say another like 15 or so minutes.
Okay. Then I should probably just do Asheville and cut out... Oh, is that the only one? Oh, yeah. I only have one song left. Perfect.
Oh, Origami Plains.
No, did I do Origami Plains?
Oh, yeah, we did.
No, you guys did Threads and Gills, Wishbone, and What You Said.
Oh.
We warmed up on Origami.
Taylor's mad. She wants me to play Origami.
But you have time to do both.
Okay, I'll start with Asheville.
Yeah.
The city, It's taking a heavy toll. I think I needed to let me go.
Excellently done. And I'll make sure, I'll keep an eye on the clock so you have, so that you have time for that last song.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's like probably 6 minutes long or so.
Okay.
So.
Yes, we can handle that. Meanwhile, I am going to read a very quick PSA. Looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating fresh fruits. A is for apricots, B is for black cherries, C is for cantaloupe. These days, many grocery stores have more kinds of fresh fruit than there are letters in the alphabet. The edible skin of fruits like apples can be a terrific source of healthy, cancer-fighting dietary fiber, while others, like bananas, come in convenient, ready-to-peel natural packages, so you don't even need to wash your hands to eat them, although you might want to. Plus, the wrapping is completely compostable, so if you're looking for a sweet, tasty, and healthy treat, remember, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack. A public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Good choice. It's a fun one.
Have you been on those sumo oranges?
Oh, I haven't had one recently, but they are so good.
Yeah, they were in season, like, I guess, like maybe a month ago or so. But
I'll catch them next year.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're still around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you can find them. Maybe not as juicy.
Perhaps not. Perhaps not. Do you have a favorite fruit?
Probably, like, blackberry.
Very nice. And native.
To here.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I should go out and
yeah. Oh, you can find them. Yeah.
Okay.
You
have any spots that you go?
The last time I had wild blackberries, it was at the Brimfield Flea Market out in Brimfield, which is a little bit past Worcester.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I need to read Anthem.
Anthem by
Ingram. And I need to go to Bloomfield Flea Market.
Brimfield.
Broomfield.
Brim. B-R-I-M.
Sorry to everyone in Brimfield.
I wish that our signal reached you, but at least the internet is everywhere.
There you go.
Yes. All right. Do you want to play that last one?
Sure, yeah.
Excellent.
Sussing out the job, I'm cautious every step now. Who's got all the cards? I can see they kept their head down. The hard part. Once I start to spiral, I can't tell the world apart. someone in the morning, switching on my clothes with slightly different shades, with slightly different shades. And I've been paranoid, I think I'm seeing ghosts. And people made of clay and origami planes. Something in the wide shot, right in my peripheral. Something in my mind's eye, something so ephemeral. And someone get the camera, try to hold it still. I just need to find out if it's even real. Someone in the morning, switching on my clothes with slightly different shades, with slightly different shades. And I've been paranoid, I think I'm seeing ghosts. And people made of clay and origami
Excellent. Origami Planes, Ari Sage.
Those last two are both out. I forgot to mention that part.
Excellent.
Asheville and Origami Planes.
Yes. Very nice. And you're listening to WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And we're not quite done just yet. We will be very soon. But no matter what, you should make sure to stick around because there's going to be all local music straight through until midnight. And Schooner will be playing live at 10:30. Yes. So don't go anywhere. And if you do, come back. And On the Town's going to be hosted by the wonderful Lils as well. So that is another treat. Ari. You've been turned into a cartoon character. Which one are you?
Q-Bert. Does that count? If it's a video game character, does that count?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Q-Bert.
Excellent. What is a interesting. It's paused. Is it being broadcast over us? It can do that. Hang on, let me check. Hello, hello? Nope. It's us. We're back. Whatever that was, it's gone. So, false alarm, I think. Have you come up with a quote that you like?
Oh, shoot. I was supposed to think of a quote.
It's okay. Maybe your subconscious did some work for you.
I can do one from the from that Ray Bradbury book that I was just reading.
Oh, sure.
Maybe it's a little overplayed, but I like it a lot. He says, we're living in a time when flowers are trying to live on flowers instead of growing on good rain and black loam. Even fireworks, for all their prettiness, come from the chemistry of the earth. Yet somehow we think we can grow feeding on flowers and fireworks without completing the cycle back to reality.
Very nice. Substance is important.
Yeah.
Yes. And let's see. Ari, do you have a favorite spot in Boston to go and either get inspired or decompress?
Probably my front porch. My back porch usually, but they're working on my back porch. So my front porch.
Yes, that's always a good spot. Not your front porch specifically, but
no,
I believe
my front porch specifically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, well,
anyone
yeah.
can come to my front porch. You're welcome. Our front porch. Me and David's front porch. You're welcome to come.
If you can find it, there's a chair for you. Bench.
There's so many chairs. We found them all over the street. Christmas is all year round.
Some of them
for
need
us.
To go, I think.
Yeah, there's holes in them all. They're falling apart. But if you're willing to maybe break the back off of a chair, you know, go for it.
Yeah, there are worse ways to spend your time. Would you rather have an audience of rowdy toddlers or overly critical seniors?
Overly critical seniors.
Yeah, sure. Probably the seniors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to be around a bunch of toddlers.
It's fair. It's fair. I think you're like one of the first bands who chose rowdy or overly critical seniors.
Really?
Because all the other ones who have said, yeah, either, both. They both sound like fun. And then some are just like, oh, yeah, definitely toddlers. Yeah. Because they're like, you know, we play music that the rowdy toddlers will. But I feel like for your music.
Maybe I don't play music that rowdy toddlers could enjoy.
Yeah.
It's
too slow. They would be rowdy and toddling right over it. Yes. That makes sense. If you could headline a holiday, what holiday would you like to headline?
Man, these are great. These are fun questions.
Thank you.
If I could headline a holiday, like this holiday comes around and they're just like Ari Sage.
Yep.
I don't want to take anything too important.
St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, maybe St. Patrick's Day. I found out recently that one of my grandparents is 100% Irish.
Oh, so you're a quarter.
So, yeah, I'm a quarter.
At least.
That was, he got his 23andMe back. It just said Irish. Like, there was nothing else on there. I was like, I didn't know that could happen.
Whoa.
So.
Yeah. That's, well, I guess that there's, that's a strong bloodline you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least a quarter of. Yeah. Nice. Well, Ari, it's been great. Where can people find you? What's your social media? All that one last time.
Yeah, my